When I was 19, I was a Marine and had stupidly used my military perks to get a home loan and bought my first house. I moved a barracks room worth of stuff into this place that seemed to me like a palace. Of course, I went out and brought some bar stools, a futon to sleep on until I got a bed, and some used coffee tables for my TV. I also had a dog with me. I was unpacking my meagre belongings into the living room and noticed a car had pulled into my drive and blocked me in. I walked out, and there stood a man offering to sell me a home security system. The man was dressed in khakis and a polo with a name tag that I can't recall, and the car didn't have a logo on it. It should have been a red flag to me, but I figured that some people on the job didn't drive company vehicles. He gave me his card. I don't even remember the company he told me he was with, to be honest. Cue the friendly salesman, giving me his pitch about needing the system and all the perks that would come with me being able to watch the exterior of my house at any time. As a low-ranking military member, I knew I couldn't afford yet another thing, so my mum was working to try and get this man to go away. I even considered ninja chopping him or whatever it is we Marines do in hand-to-hand, just to get him to leave. But I am a sort of passive person. I'm too nice. Let's call it polite. I won't be rude to someone doing their job. I've been in customer service and I can relate. I've tried politely declining his offer and he tried to show me some stuff in his iPad, but you know how persistent these types can be. I would admit to my own stupidity when answering his questions, like giving out too much information. Do you live alone? No, I live here with my wife and three large dogs. At least I added the large part. Her and her dogs hadn't actually moved in yet, and hers were just fat, though they were more vicious than my own good boy. But two women living together probably seemed like an easier target. I also mentioned being in the Marines when he asked. He had seemed a bit shocked, but wouldn't be deterred. What kind of security system do you have? My dogs and me. Not the best answer I could have given. It wasn't exactly intimidating. I mean, I would be terrified if I had a gun or something. I've been using them all my life, and I've never missed a target, alive or inanimate. If you'd invite me in, I can show you the best places to set up cameras. He mentions more than a few times. Each time made me more and more creeped out, thinking that he wanted to potentially rob me. Not that there was much to make. Despite being a sexual assault victim, all I could consider was a possible burglary, and made sure we stayed away from my house while we talked. We were outside for about 15 minutes total, me spending most of the time trying to politely get away from him and retreat inside. I wound up at my wit's end with social niceties and just walked away, leaving him standing there alone in my front yard. I walked into my house and locked the door. He got into his car and left, and I thought nothing more of it. After some unpacking, I couldn't do much, I had nowhere to put most of it. I just ate some junk food and put together the futon. I got it all decked out with my fluffiest blankets, made sure the doors and windows were all locked, and went to lay down in the living room. Looking back, I'm not sure why I didn't put it in a bedroom. They all have blinds, and the rooms take a bit of getting to. Perhaps I wanted to be near an exit. For context, my back door is a double glass pan door. At the time, I didn't have curtains on it, but I did have blinds on the kitchen window. My kitchen, the living room, and the dining room are all connected, but there's a wall in the living room that I strategically situated my futon against so it couldn't be seen by the back doors, or by the front door window. Call me paranoid. I'd been laying down for a few hours, and at about 11, my dog got off the futon and went to the back doors. My dog's large, and looks like a Rottweiler in colouring. He's a coonhound mix, but I guess city people don't have hunting dogs. But he's never hurt anything in his life. He'll greet strangers at the door with a tail wag and hardly barks. He stood back there for a bit and whined a few times. I ignored him, it was probably a squirrel. But then he started growling, a sound that I'll never forget. It sent terror straight through me as I sat alone in the dark. I had only ever felt fear once, when a mountain lion screamed and I realised I was powerless against nature. But that's a story for a different thread. The point is, these sounds are designed to scare you, and it petrified me. I was frozen and wanted to wimp out, to hide, to call the cops, but I realised that if someone was out there, they'd for sure see the light of my phone and know where I was. While my dog stayed stationed at the back door, I had talked myself up enough just to move from the couch and investigate, still scared out of my mind. I slunk into the kitchen and grabbed a kitchen knife, one of the only utensils I had, thanks Mum, and crept to the kitchen window. I was squatting against the cabinet so that I couldn't be seen from any windows, bouncing a little, trying to gear up to peel back the blinds. My brain was telling me irrational things, horror stories that I read come to life. To be real, I was ready to bitch out. I'm not a brave person, and I was in communications, for God's sake. Pretty far from any life-threatening situation. Well, not one that involves people actually at my house. In my one safe space. My hideout, my protection from anything outside wanting in. I've always been afraid of home invasion. It stems from an incident from when I was younger that isn't really worth mentioning further. Point is, if someone dares enter my safe place, it's not safe anymore. I thought I couldn't get more scared in that moment, but then I saw a male figure in my backyard and my heart jumped. He wasn't very far from the window I was looking out of. He was bold enough not to wear anything over his head, and I saw the blonde hair in the moonlight. It only took me a few seconds to recognise the security salesman in the dark. He was on the edge of my porch, watching my back door, watching my dog. I jumped up quickly, climbed over the bar counter, and turned the lights on as I went back towards the door to let my still growling dog out, in hopes that he'd at least get rid of the man, if not injure him. No dice. As soon as the lights came on, he had just enough time to go jump to the low part of the fence to safety, before my dog even got off the porch. I didn't sleep that night. My dog sat on the futon with me, calm as could be, having done his job. The next morning, I filed a police report, but I couldn't tell them his name or the company he was with, having lost the card he gave me. They sent some patrols through the area, and I found out all legit salesmen should have an ID upon request. That night, I had two friends stay with me, ready for him to come back to either A, try and rob me, or commit more nefarious acts, or B, try to scare me into home security. He didn't come back, and I haven't seen him since. My dog hasn't growled like that since either, but I'm terrified for the next time I hear it. This is a cautionary tale about giving strangers rides ahead. About 10 years ago, I was on my way to work, and made my usual stop at a Speedway to grab a Red Bull. I made this stop about every day, so it was routine for me. On this day, however, I was already about 50 minutes late for work, but whipped into the gas station anyway. As I got out, there was a clearly strung out girl, pacing by the entrance with a baby stroller. I assumed this lady was going to approach me when I got out of my car to ask me for money to buy food. The Midwest is filled with dope heads, so I braced myself for the awkward encounter and headed in. What happened instead is the lady bowled in front of me with a flip phone and stroller in hand, and started begging me for a ride up the road. I declined initially, but she would not go away. I passed her, by my Red Bull, and headed to the car. As I get to my car, she reappears from behind my car and starts begging again. This time she flashes a photo of a baby on her phone and tells me she just needs to be dropped off up the road. Ah, F it, I'm already late for work. She hops in the back seat with her now clearly empty stroller, close to my work. As we drive, she keeps telling me to just go straight every time I ask how much further it is. We're now well away from the city, and it's all country roads. I lose my patience and firmly tell her that she needs to either give me the address or get out of my car. She throws $3 in my passenger seat and begs me just to turn on this random gravel road. I turn down it and notice the only thing on the road is a beat up Corsa car, blocking half the gravel path. I instantly pull off to the side and tell her to get the F out now. She begs just to take her down to the Corsa car, because it's her boyfriend and he has her kid. I tell her if that's true, then he can drive down the road and pick her up. She texts on her phone for a second, without another word, and just hops out. I'm officially sketched out and flip a bitch just to see in the rearview the Corsa car hauling ass behind me, the lady's gone, and turning onto the bypass opposite me. I ended up calling in since I was running about 30 minutes late after everything. My grammar is trash, but I'm 100% certain I was about to be robbed by crackheads or worse. Between the fake baby photo, empty stroller, and shady dirt road Corsa car, I was pretty shook for a good week. To preface this, I love to drive, like hour-long drives to nowhere with no destination in mind, just me, my music, and the road ahead of me. Living in Nebraska, I often take to the roads or lonely highways, cutting through the countryside to small towns and eventually cities, and I'd usually take these drives at night since there was way less traffic to worry about. I've done it since I had my license 4 or 5 years ago, and I've never once had any sort of issue, nor have I ever run into any trouble. That was until a few nights ago. For reference, I'm a relatively small 22-year-old female, and as I've stated before, I often take these drives completely, utterly alone. They're a good way to clear my head when I'm stressed, upset, or overwhelmed, or for me to get a plan together to sort personal issues out. I've also done these long and lonely drives to get away from the toxicity of my household when I used to live with my parents as a means of coping with their alcoholism. Though I now have moved out and am in a much better place mentally, I don't really have the urge to get in my car and just drive anymore. However, on the night the event took place, I was feeling pretty overwhelmed, stressed and anxious, with a cluster of personal issues I'd rather not get into. I felt relentless and irritable around my boyfriend, couldn't focus on anything else, and decided I would take a drive to clear my head. My boyfriend was understanding and told me to be careful and not to be gone for too terribly long, since it was getting pretty late. I agreed, gave him a kiss goodbye and left. I drove around our city for about 30 minutes, but I was still feeling on edge about everything transpiring in my personal life, so I decided just to drive further north down those familiar, dark, winding one-lane highways. I kept the car at a steady 65 miles per hour, taking the turns at a slower pace in case a deer jumped out from around the bend and was just admiring the vast empty darkness of the snow-capped fields and barren trees. It was honestly a bit creepy being all alone with no cars in sight, in seemingly the middle of nowhere. The few houses miles back from the road lightness and the dead cornfields withered away and covered in the snow. It was like something out of a horror movie, and I half expected to see a ghost pop up in my rearview mirror or see someone clamber out from the patches of the trees dotting the horizon. The only light came from my headlights, and even then, I still strained to see through the inky darkness of the night. By now, it was just after 11, and I told myself that once I made the familiar roundabout that would either take you to a small town or back up towards the city, I would head back to the city and home. That roundabout was still maybe 15 or 25 minutes away, but other than my imagination picturing the worst, I wasn't really all that concerned. I mean, I was by myself, I didn't have any other motorists to worry about, right? Wrong. As I'm rounding the bend, I notice a vehicle with its hazards flashing maybe a quarter mile or something away from me. It was some sort of sedan, dark coloured, and was angled to where only part of it was on the shoulder, while the rest was just jutted onto the road. Like they just pulled over in a hurry, but didn't quite manage to do that. The driver's side door was flung open wide, and as I slowed my vehicle down and angled it towards the opposite side of the road to pass, I can make out what looked like maybe blood on the side of the open door. I didn't see anyone on the road or in the car, and I was the only motorist in sight. Cell reception is spotty at best in this part of the country, but more often than not, you couldn't get reception no matter how hard you prayed, which was definitely the case when I took a glance at my phone to see if I had any service. So, lone female on the road, at night, pulling up near a vacant vehicle that looks like someone had been attacked inside, with no cell service. Now, I'm no dummy. I've watched countless episodes of Investigation Discovery and Criminal Minds, and read far too many true crime books to know this had bad and danger written all over it. But there was still a small part of me that worried something terrible had happened to whoever was in that vehicle, and I thought I needed to help. These roads don't get a lot of traffic late at night, and temperatures were well below freezing. If someone were hurt or in trouble, there was no one and nothing else to help them but me. Still, I erred on the side of caution. I was still driving my car, though a bit more slowly, and as I approached the vehicle, I rolled down my passenger side window a bit, shut the music off, and called out, "Hey! Anyone there? You okay?" I didn't hear a response. I worried they were passed out somewhere, but I wasn't about to get out and look for them. I told myself I'd call one last time, and if I didn't hear anything, I would leave. At the moment there was reception, I'd call in. And if I did hear someone, well, I'd figure out my next course of action then. So again I shout, "Hey, what happened? You okay?" There was silence for a beat, and then I heard rustling in the shadows of the trees, followed by a gruff voice saying, "Yeah." I was relieved at first, and was about to say something in response, or possibly even stop my car and get out, when I noticed three things nearly simultaneously. As I inched my way past the front of the sedan, I noticed there was no damage to the hood or anywhere else in the vehicle, which I found to be strange considering the blood inside the door. In my rearview mirror, I caught a glance of someone coming out from behind the sedan, and they were making their way towards my car, fast. The person didn't have any blood on them or appear injured in any way, wearing a mask, Not like a face mask for COVID or a ski mask or anything normal, but on one of those masks you would see in a Purge movie, and they were holding something in their hand. I don't know what it was. I couldn't get a good look, but from its length and shape, my guess was maybe a tire iron or a crowbar or something. I don't need to tell you that I slammed on the gas the moment I noticed those things and drove like a bat straight out of hell, my heart thundering in my chest and my entire body shaking. My window was still rolled down in my haste, and the music was still shut off, so I could very clearly hear someone, definitely a man, shouting at me, though I had no clue what they were saying. I just knew I had to get out of there immediately. I stole one last look at my rearview mirror as I drove away, mostly to see if they were getting in their sedan to follow Chase, or if they'd stopped. The man with the weapon was still standing in the middle of the road watching me, and right before I looked away from the mirror, I saw a second man emerge from the trees that had been rustling earlier, also wearing one of those creepy masks, and no trace of blood on him. I probably broke every law of speeding that night, but I wanted to get as far away from these men as possible. As soon as I made it to that roundabout, I turned towards town, parked in the Walmart parking lot that thankfully still had cars from who I assumed were workers closing up shop, and proceeded to have a full-on meltdown. When I could pull myself together, I called on my friends, T, who was a police officer, to tell him what happened and what I should do. He was concerned for me and asking if I was okay, where I was, did they follow me, etc. He told me since it was out of city limits, he couldn't do much on his end, but he could get in contact with the local police sheriff in that jurisdiction to take my statement and check it out. I agreed, thanked him, and while I waited for the police to show up, I called my boyfriend. Through my hysterical sobs and panic, I managed to tell him what happened, not even 10 or so minutes ago. He was, as you can imagine, super freaked for my safety, and wanted me to either come home immediately or drive himself down to take me home. I told him the police were on their way to take my statement so I couldn't leave, and that I was okay. But I stayed on the phone with him until I saw the familiar police cruisers pulling into the lot. I gave the police my statement, and they assured me they'd go back to the spot I told them the sedan had been to take a look, and that they would try and catch the guys who did it. Though, with no cameras and no description of the men, I wasn't sure they'd be able to. I didn't even get the license plate number, though at the time of my panic, the thought never came into my mind until the police were asking if I got it. All they had to go off was a dark coloured sedan and two guys with masks. After I gave my statement, I went home and stayed curled up close to my boyfriend the whole night, listening to every sound the house made in fear it would be those guys arriving any minute to finish whatever it was they started. Since the incident, I haven't heard back from the police about whether or not they have any leads, and I'm not sure they ever will. I'm just thankful that I'm still here, and I didn't stop my car or get out. I'm not sure what would have become of me if I had. I still have so many questions that have no answers. What were they doing? Why? Was that blood on the inside of their car, or just a ruse to get more attention? If it was really blood, did they hurt someone else? What would have happened to me if I'd stopped my car? Needless to say, I won't be going on any more late night drives to anywhere, and I hope I never cross paths with those freaks again.